And good morning to everyone. And a special thank you to Amy for translating today. I know it's not easy to translate in general and not easy to translate me. Now, one of the things I try to do when I preach at joint services is to try to get everyone on the same page. After all, if you have kids on the English side, you should really know what I'm teaching your children. And if you don't have kids on the English side, our ability to be a church together hinges on our ability to tell the same story together. The story of Jesus. It is only as we get to know who Jesus is that we become Christian. It is only as we learn this story together that we become a church. And so on the English side, we've been going through a series on the Gospel of Mark. And we've talked about things like the fact that the Gospels are not history as we know history. They are not a list of things that happened in Jesus' life. Instead, the Gospels are literary constructions. Edited compilations of stories in Jesus' life designed to make a point about who Jesus is. In the case of the Gospel of Mark, Mark is very clearly trying to point out that Jesus is the return of Yahweh to the temple. With all that such a return implies within the context of the Old Testament. And as importantly, Mark makes this point by having Jesus' life story mirror the story of the Old Testament. Where Israel once walked, Jesus will now also go. The way that Mark talks about Jesus is supposed to tell us about who we are. And what we're supposed to be doing as a church. But first, we have to explain how Mark talks about Jesus. That brings us this week to the opening parts of Mark chapter
3,
which is where we are on the English side in our sermon series. For the sake of time, I can't explain too much about what's happening in Mark 3, verses 8 to 12. But if you're curious, you should be able to ask anyone on the English side about the Messianic secret. Sorry, I didn't know that was a technical term. I will try to remember that needs special translation.
Yes.
Sorry. For now, I want to talk about why the Pharisees want to kill Jesus. After all, from our perspective, it seems like such a ridiculous thing to do. Jesus has just healed a man in a supernatural way. Why aren't the Pharisees happy about this? I would be amazed to see such a thing. The only problem seems to be that Jesus did this on the Sabbath. Why would this deserve death? In order to understand, we have to talk about who the Pharisees are and what the Sabbath is. In the time of Jesus, the Jews believed that they were in exile.
在耶稣的时代，犹太人相信他们是被驱逐的。
They believed that God had abandoned them because of the centuries worth of Israel's sins.
他们相信神放弃了他们，因为历世历代以色列犯的罪。
And Israel had kept breaking all of God's laws.
以及以色列不断地干犯神的律法。
For example, Isaiah 24:5 says this, "The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant."
例如以赛亚书24:第五节嗰度讲，地被其上的居民污秽，因为他们犯了律法，废了律例，背了永约。
But this message is not unique to that one verse.
但系呢个信息唔系只有呢一节经文先有。
This is essentially the argument of the entire Old Testament.
是基本上是整个旧约圣经的论点。
God has exiled the Jews because of the sheer magnitude of their sins.
神放逐犹太人因为他世世代代的滔天罪行。
Centuries and centuries worth of sin. Indeed, it was only because God had left Israel that the Roman government was now in charge.
事实上，正因为神离开以色列，罗马人先得以掌权。
There were a variety of responses that the Jews had to this.
对呢件事，唔同嘅人有唔同嘅反应。
Some Jews, like the tax collectors, collaborated with the Romans in order to become rich.
有啲犹太人好似税吏，会为咗发财而同罗马帝国联手。
But that was by no means the only response.
但呢个绝对唔系唯一嘅回应。
The Pharisees were a large group of Jews who believed that the prophets were right about Israel.
法利赛人是一个很大的犹太人组织，他们相信先知对以色列的预言是对的。
The Pharisees believed that Israel was in exile because of her sins.
法利赛人相信他们被放逐是因为他们的罪。
Therefore, the Pharisees doubled down on following the Old Testament law to the greatest possible extent.
因为咁，法利赛人最大可能地加倍遵守旧约嘅律法。
In fact, in order to avoid sin, they made laws around the laws so that you could not even get close to breaking them.
所以咁样，为咗避免犯罪，佢哋喺律法嘅周围再加设律法，以致你根本冇办法接近到会去犯法嘅地步。
To use a modern analogy, they would only ever drive 45 in a 50 zone. They would never run a yellow light, and they would never jaywalk.
用現代人的比喻，在一個車速行每小時50公里的地段，他們從來只會開到45，他們也都從來不會衝黃燈，又不會在不應該過馬路的地方過馬路。
They believe that by keeping the law to such an extent, to never even come close to breaking it, that Yahweh would return and end the exile.
他們相信緊守律例去到一個甚至不会接近犯法的地步，耶和华就会回到他们中间，他们的放逐就会完结。
The breaking of any of God's law then is a problem precisely because it keeps God away from his people.
所以触犯任何律法都是一个问题，因为会让神远离他的子民。
So from the Pharisees' point of view, Jesus is breaking Sabbath by healing, because in their eyes, healing counts as work.
所以在法利赛人的角度，耶稣因为医病就干犯了安息日的律法，因为在他们的眼中，医病算为做工。
The Sabbath law appears in many places, but here's the version recorded in Exodus 34. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest.
安息日律法在很多地方出现，在出埃及记34:21是这样记载。你六日要做工，第七日要安息，虽在耕种收割的时候也要安息。
If you know anything about farming, you know how important plowing and harvest are.
如果你对农耕有认识，你会知道耕种同收割系有几重要。
But even in the most important parts of the year, work is forbidden and rest is mandatory.
就算喺一年耕种里边最重要嘅时期。都是禁止做工，要强制安息。
The reason this rest is so strictly mandated can be seen from the context in which this law was given.
要强制执行安息的理由可以从神颁布十诫的背景来看到。
The commandment to rest is given to the Israelites who have just been freed from slavery in Egypt.
守安息日的诫命是被刚刚从埃及为奴之地释放出来的以色列民。
It is essentially a command which says this: I am Yahweh your God who freed you from slavery. You shall never be slaves to your work again.
实际上这条诫命讲的是我是耶和华，是从奴隶制度中释放你们的神，你们不应该再被工作奴役。
God did not make us to be slaves.
神不是创造人成为奴隶。
He made us to be in his image.
他是照他的形象创造他们。
Therefore, as part of the Ten Commandments, ancient Israel's foundational constitutional level law, God mandates rest for Israel.
十诫是古以色列律法等级的律法基础，作为十诫其中一条，神规定以色列要休息。
All of this, then, is why the Pharisees want to kill Jesus.
这个就是为什么法利赛人想杀耶稣。
It's not just because he's breaking a law.
不是因，只是因为他干犯了律法。
It is because he is acting in defiance of an identity-defining, constitutional level that God himself has given to Israel.
而是因为他公然违抗神给以色列有身份定义律法等级的律法。
And the Pharisees believe that by killing Jesus, or that by Jesus breaking the law, Jesus is keeping God away from his people.
法利赛人相信耶稣这样做是会叫神远离他的子民。
The irony, of course, is that we know that Mark's whole argument is that Jesus is the return of Yahweh to his temple.
讽刺的地方是我们知道马可的论点就是耶稣是神回去他的圣殿。
But that's not what it looks like to the Pharisees.
但是法利赛人就不是这样看。
Why then does Jesus choose to break the Sabbath?
那为什么耶稣选择触发安息日的律法呢？
He's not trying to anger the Pharisees.
他不是只是想着要激怒法利赛人。
Rather, he is trying to teach them a lesson about what it means to be a follower of this God.
按他一贯的作风，耶稣是尝试教他们成为一个跟随人的是意味着什么，跟随神的人是意味着什么。
According to our Lord and Master, no laws exist for their own sake.
根据我们的主，律法的存在并不是为了律法本身。
Even the God-given Sabbath laws, important though they may be, do not exist so that they may be followed to the letter.
就算是神赐下这么重要的安息日律法，它的存在都不是为了要逐个字去遵守。
In the ancient times, the Sabbath was meant to remind Israel that she was never to be a slave to her work again.
在古代，安息日的意义是提醒以色列不要再被工作奴役。
It was meant to remind Israel that her worth could never be defined economically.
本意是要提醒以色列，它的价值不是由经济价值来定义。
Israel's worth, and indeed our worth, is determined firstly by the fact that we belong to God, and that God loves us and made us in his image.
以色列的价值以及我们的价值是首先决定于我们属于神这个事实，以及神爱我们并以他的形象做我们。
Sabbath was meant to make Israel and us more like God by giving us time and space to reflect on who we are in light of who God is.
安息日是给以色列时间和空间在神的光照下去反思他们是哪一个，是为了给以色列同样地给我们去更似神。
And Sabbath time was meant to be used to build relationships with friends and family and neighbors, that we may love one another as Christ has loved us, and so become the people of God.
安息日的时间的目的，安息时间的目的是给我们去跟朋友、家人、邻居建立关系，以致我们可以彼此相爱，以成为神的子民。
All that is to say is that the law of God is a means, not the end.
一切说明神的律法是一个途径，不是一个终点。
As Jesus said in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
正如耶稣在马可福音二章二十七节里讲，安息日是为人设立的，人不是为安息日设立的。
Therefore, from Jesus' perspective, he has not broken Sabbath at all.
所以在耶稣的观点，他根本没有触犯安息日的律法。
Rather, he has fulfilled it.
他是成全了律法。
As Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them.
正如耶稣在马太福音第五章十七节度讲，莫想我来要废掉律法和先知，我来不是要废掉，乃是要成全。
And in order to emphasize the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law,
为了强调耶稣是成全律法，
Mark once again puts Jesus into the shoes of the Old Testament and into Israel's story.
马可再一次将耶稣代入旧约的故事，以色列的故事。
Immediately after the Pharisees challenged Jesus about the law, Jesus goes onto the water, as in verses 7 to 9, and then he goes up a mountain where he appoints the 12 apostles.
法利赛人以律法挑战耶稣之后，耶稣在第七至九节即刻去了海边，然后上了山，设立了十二门徒。
You will notice that this closely echoes Israel's old story.
你会发现这件事跟以色列的旧故事非常相似。
After Israel is freed from Egypt by crossing the Red Sea, Yahweh meets Moses on top of Mount Sinai, where he forms a covenant with the 12 tribes by giving them the Ten Commandments.
当以色列跨过红海脱离埃及，耶和华在西乃山上见摩西，并以颁布十诫来同十二支派立约。
In the same way, Jesus crosses the water, goes up a mountain, and appoints 12 apostles.
同样地，耶稣渡过海，上了山，设立了十二门徒。
And all this happens after Jesus gives the Pharisees a new law. It is better to do good on the Sabbath than to perfectly keep the letter of the Sabbath law.
这件事发生在耶稣给法利赛人一条新的律法之后，就是在安息日行善事，远比一字不差地守安息日的律法更加好。
Overall then, Jesus is here being clearly portrayed as Yahweh himself.
总括来讲，耶稣在这里被描绘成耶和华他自己。
In the same way that Yahweh led Israel across the water and to the mountain, so too is Jesus doing the same thing.
耶和华带领以色列过海，同样地，耶稣都是做相同的事。
And in the same way that Jesus gives the law, and in the same way that Yahweh gives the law, so too does Jesus now give the new law.
耶和华颁布律法，同样地，耶稣也都颁布新的律法。
This new law focuses on being like Christ far more than it focuses on the specific letter of the law.
这条新的律法着重于似耶稣，大大多于着重于喺一字不漏咁遵守个律法。
What then does all this have to do with us?
讲咗咁多，呢啲对我哋有咩关系咧？
As always, the story of Jesus is the story of the church.
一如既往，耶稣嘅故事就系教会嘅故事。
After all, we are the body of Christ, and Jesus is our head.
讲到底，我哋系耶稣嘅身体，耶稣系我哋嘅头。
This means that whatever Jesus' goals are should become our goals.
意思系耶稣嘅目标应该成为我哋嘅目标。
And Jesus' method should become our methods.
耶稣嘅方法应该成为我哋嘅方法。
Therefore, Jesus' approach to the Old Testament law is to become our approach not only to the Old Testament, but to law in general.
所以耶稣对待旧约律法嘅态度，就成为我哋对待唔单止旧约嘅律法，亦都系一般嘅律法嘅态度。
That is to say, it is not the letter of the law that matters.
意思系重要嘅唔系律法嘅一点一划。
It is what the law is trying to point us toward.
而系律法指引我哋去边一度。
I'm reminded of an old African proverb.
我被一个古老嘅非洲谚语提醒。
I am pointing to the stars. Why are you looking at the tip of my finger?
我指住天上面嘅星星，但你点解望住我只手指头咧？
If we were to apply this for today, one of the implications is that we as Christians and as a church are not supposed to be a primarily rules-based people.
如果要形容喺今日，其中一个含义系我哋作为基督徒教会，主要唔系应该系规矩导向嘅人。
We are a goal-based people.
我哋系目标导向嘅人。
That is, we don't follow God's laws to the letter, because these laws were never intended to be followed to the letter.
意思是我们不是一字不差地遵守律法，因为律法的原意不是要我们一字不差地去遵守。
The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
安息日是为人设立的，人不是为安息日设立的。
We follow the rules only insofar as they help us to become more like Jesus.
我哋遵守律法去到一个程度，系为咗帮助我哋更似耶稣。
That is our ultimate goal, to help everyone become more like Jesus.
因为呢个系我哋最终嘅目标，系要帮助所有人更似耶稣。
Let me give you an example.
俾一个例子。
Especially in a historically Chinese church like ours, where conformity and rule following are so emphasized, we often use rule following as a proxy for how much we love Jesus.
尤其是好似我哋注重服从同规矩嘅传统文化，中华文化嘅教会，我哋好多时会以守规矩嚟量度我哋有几爱耶稣。
I know we don't always do this consciously.
我知道我哋唔系成日有意识咁做。
But sometimes things like whether you're late for church or whether you join in the church programs is used as a way to measure if you're a good Christian.
有时候我哋会以你翻教会有冇迟到、有冇参加教会活动等等嚟量度你又系一个几好嘅基督徒。
But doing all these things is not actually what Jesus is after.
但系呢啲事其实唔系耶稣看重嘅。
If you attend church your entire life and you go to every event the church puts on.And you end up less like Jesus than when you started, you should have gone somewhere else.
如果你一生人都系翻教会，参与教会每一个活动，但系你比起初更加唔似耶稣，咁你不如去第二度啦。
If you are on time every Sunday and your understanding of Jesus is not growing and changing, we are doing something wrong.
如果你每个礼拜日都准时翻教会，你对耶稣嘅认识冇改变冇长进度嘅，咁你做紧啲唔啱嘅嘢。
We do not put on a service every Sunday because our all-knowing God somehow needs to be reminded of how great He is.
我哋每个礼拜日举行崇拜，唔系因为我哋全知嘅神需要被提醒佢有几伟大。
We put on a service every Sunday so that we can learn to be more like Jesus.
我哋每个礼拜举行崇拜系为咗我哋可以学习更像耶稣。
Loving God and loving neighbor.
學習愛神愛鄰舍。
Our rules and expectations need to point towards that ultimate goal.
我哋嘅規矩同期望需要指向呢個最終嘅目標。
They do not need to be enforced for the sake of enforcement.
而唔係為咗執行而執行。
Here's another example.
另一個例子。
It's common in Christian circles to believe that you should read your Bible every day.
喺基督徒圈子裏邊，普遍會相信你應該每一日讀聖經。
And that you should do your devotions.
你要应该要做灵修。
I will never tell you to read your Bible less.
我唔会叫你少啲读圣经。
At the same time, whether you understand what you're reading matters at least as much as whether you're reading at all.
同一时候，你明唔明白你睇嘅圣经，至少系同你有冇睇圣经系一样咁重要。
We do not advise people to read their Bibles just so that you can say you've done your Bible reading for the day.We advise you to read your Bibles in the hopes that by reading it,You will find new insight into the nature and being of God and what it means to be a follower of this Jesus.
我哋唔建议你人读圣经系为咗你可以同人讲你今日睇咗。我哋建议你读圣经嘅系希望你透过读圣经系对神嘅对神嘅属性本体揾到新嘅认知，同埋作为神跟随神嘅人意味系啲咩
？Because the Bible is an ancient text.This will necessarily include discussing the contents with your fellow believers and with your children. It will include asking questions about what all these old words mean and how these stories are connected with logic we no longer intuitively understand.
We will need to ask questions about the meaning of these old words and how these stories are connected with聖經的故事是怎樣透過我們已經不能夠憑直覺理解的邏輯怎樣連在一起
We do not read the Bible in order to read the Bible.
我們不是因為讀聖經為了讀聖經而讀聖經
We read the Bible in order to meet the God whose story is contained within the pages.
我們讀聖經是為了一本書裡面的故事和神相遇
For example, in our passage today, we have seen Jesus call 12 apostles.As a symbolic representation of the 12 tribes of Israel.
是象徵12個支派。
One of the questions I would hope that you have is, why does it matter who these 12 people are?
其中一個問題我希望你們有的就是那12個人是誰為什麼會重要
After all, if Jesus is just interested in symbolically recreating Israel, he only needs 12.
講到咧，如果耶穌只係想以呼召十二個門徒嚟象徵，象徵重新創造十二支派，佢只係需要有十二個人。
While we can't go over every single one of the apostles today, as an answer, I want to point to two disciples in particular.
我今日唔能夠詳細咁講每一個門徒，但係作為答案，我想指出兩個。
Matthew, the tax collector, and Simon, the zealot.
就係税吏馬太同埋憤怒黨西門。
That is, the relationship between these two apostles tells us a lot about what Jesus is trying to do in the world.
我哋可以從呢兩個門徒嘅關係裏邊睇到耶穌喺呢個世上做啲乜嘢。
And what Jesus wants us to be doing in the world as well.
同埋耶穌想我哋做啲乜嘢。
As we've talked about on the English side, in Jesus' time, the Jews considered themselves to be living under Roman occupation.
在我英文堂已經講過，在耶穌的時期，猶太人看他們自己是活在羅馬人的佔領底下。
The Jews considered their homeland to be conquered, and they were desperate to drive out the occupying force.
以色列相信他們的家園被征服，他們很迫切地想趕走佔領他們的軍隊。
Within 100 years of Jesus' death and resurrection, the Jews started three wars to try just that.
耶穌釘死復活後之後嘅100年裏面，猶太人發動咗三次戰爭，淨係嘗試咁樣做。
They lost every time.
但係每一次都失敗。
In that context, being a tax collector was nothing like being a CRA agent.
喺呢個背景底下，一個税吏唔係一個普通嘅稅務局職員。
Being a tax collector meant that you collected money from your friends and family, your fellow Jews, and sent it off to the Roman government.
作為一個税吏，你係代表羅馬政府向你嘅朋友、去你嘅家人去收錢。
The very same government that had sent the legions to kill your friends and family and to take your home.
就係派軍隊去殺你啲朋友、屋企人、搶你間屋嗰個政府。
The tax collectors often collected this money through violent and coercive means.
而税吏好多時候係用暴力強迫嘅手段去收錢。
This is why across the New Testament, tax collectors are naturally grouped with sinners.
所以喺新約聖經，好自然地會將税吏同罪人視為同一類。
In the same way that peanut butter goes with jam, or two peas belong in a pod, ancient Jews just grouped together sinners and tax collectors.
正如花生醬同果醬一齊，一個豆夾夾裡面有兩粒豆，古時嘅猶太人會將税吏同罪人視為同一類。
And since the tax collectors and the Romans were so hated, some Jews decided to take matters into their own hands.
因為他們很憎稅吏和羅馬人，有些猶太人決定自己採取行動。
These were known as the Zealots.
那些人叫做憤怒黨。
They were violent revolutionaries who were known for assassinating people, often in public.
他們在暴力革命人士要出了什麼是會刺殺
They assassinated people they considered collaborators, traitors to the Jewish cause.
他們會刺殺一些他覺得跟羅馬人聯手來背叛以色列的人。
People like tax collectors.
例如稅吏。
You will notice that among the 12 disciples are one Matthew, the tax collector, and one Simon, the zealot.
你會發現十二門徒裡面就有一個馬太是稅吏，一個西門是憤怒黨。
In a previous life, Matthew would have happily extorted Simon for all the money he was worth.
在過去，馬太會很樂意地向西門勒索，榨乾他家的身家。
And Simon the Zealot would have happily stabbed Matthew to death.
而西門又會很樂意地拿刀捅死他。
Now they are journeying together and preaching the kingdom for the sake of Jesus.
現在他們一起為了耶穌周圍去傳揚神的國。
To go back to my main point,Reading the Bible to understand it and reading it just to read it have very different outcomes. I don't think Jesus cares that much if you can name all 12 disciples. But if you know who Matthew is and who Simon the Zealot is, it is a lot easier to see that the 12 apostles are not just symbolic.
如果你知道馬太和西門是誰， 你會容易啲睇一見耶穌唔係隨便咁揾十二個人嚟象徵正正式嘅門徒。
Jesus is trying to create something entirely new.
耶穌係建立一個全新嘅。
A new kingdom based not on your past relationships and your past sins, but on the new reality of Christ and His covenant.
一個新嘅國度唔係建立喺你以前嘅關係同罪孽，而係建立咗喺基督同埋佢嘅契約嘅新體驗。
This has obvious implications for what it means for us to be a church together.
呢作為我哋一個教會嘅意義有明顯嘅影響。
The church Jesus is trying to build is not made up of one.Is not made up of people who already get along.
耶稣希望建立嘅教会唔系由一班已经熟络嘅人组成。
It is as vastly different people become reconciled to one another in the name of Jesus that the kingdom of God becomes visible.
相反系由一班截然不同嘅人，因为耶稣嘅名互相谅解而俾人睇得见系神嘅国度。
Let me be very specific.
我好具体咁样讲。
I have never been to a historically Chinese church where the majority of parents say that it is easy to talk to their kids about following Jesus.
我從來未去過一間傳統華人教會裏面，大部分嘅家長話好容易咁樣同佢嘅仔女講關於跟隨耶穌。
I have never been to a historically Chinese church where the majority of the English side and the majority of the Chinese side say that it's easy to talk to one another about following Jesus.
我亦都從來未去過一間傳統華人教會裏面，大部分嘅英文会众和广东话会众会觉得他们很容易互相讨论关于跟随耶稣。
This is not a moral indictment.
这个不是一个道德的谴责。
I know that language and culture barriers are very real.
我知道语言和文化的阻隔是很真的。
And I know these things are very difficult to overcome.
而且很难去克服的。
And I know that theology can be hard to understand and even more challenging to practice.
我知道神学可能很难明白，更加难去行出来。
What would indict us in the sight of God is if we choose to remain isolated from one another.
在神眼中，如果我们选择彼此隔离，那就会是对我们的谴责。
One of the things God desires of us, and indeed has commanded us to do, is to try to find ways to overcome any and all barriers which prevent us from following Christ together.
神渴望和命令我们做的其中一件事，就是找不同的方法去克服所有的拦阻，所有拦阻我们去跟随基督的障碍。
In the same way that Simon the Zealot learned to love Matthew, and in the same way that Matthew learned to preach alongside Simon, despite their vast, vast differences, so too must we learn how to be followers of Christ together.
好像粉锐党西门一样，学习去爱马太。馬太學習去跟西門一起傳道，雖然他們有很大很大的分歧不同的地方，我們都一樣要學習如何成為一同跟隨基督的人。
The church is not a place where we learn how to hide from people who are different than us.
教會不是一個地方讓我們學習怎樣去躲避跟我們不同的人。
It is the place where we learn to follow Jesus alongside people who are very different than us.
教會是一個讓我們學習跟同我哋唔同嘅人一齐跟随耶稣。
As we can see from Jesus's calling of Matthew and Simon the Zealot, this is one of the goals that Jesus has.
我哋从耶稣召马太同反锐党西门可以见到，这个就系耶稣其中嘅一个目标。
As Christians and as followers of Jesus, Jesus's goals are our goals. Jesus's methods are our methods.
作为基督徒同耶稣的跟随者，耶稣的目标就是我们的目标，耶稣的方法就是我们的方法。
If the first step in us learning to be Christians together is learning how to say hi or zosan, then let us begin there.
如果我们一同成为基督徒的第一步是需要学会说 hi 或者早晨，我们就从这里开始。
If it means learning to ask one another, where did you see God at work this week? Then start there.
如果是要学会问你今个礼拜喺咩地方见到神嘅工作？咁我哋就照做。
For all of those of you who are in the Romans Bible study, you can always ask one another, for a refresher on the difference between Roman era conceptualizations of human sexuality and how that interacts with modern Christian theology.
有参加罗马书查经嘅各位，你可以揾广东话同英文嘅人去复习一下罗马时代同现代时代关于人嘅性概念嘅分别。
We are given to one another that we may follow Christ together. For the sake of time, though, all of those details have to wait. To conclude, I want to bring us back to my original points and to one of the main points of Mark 3.
我想帶回我們去最初的點,馬可福音第三章其中的一個重點。
God has not called us together that we may learn to follow an arbitrary set of rules that we do not understand.
神不是呼召我們一起去學習一套我們不能夠明白的隨意規矩。
He has called us together to be followers of Jesus in thought, word, and deed.
他呼召我們一起在思想、言語、行事上成為神的跟隨者。
This is the new law of Christ.
这个是新的基督新的律例。
If the rules help you to follow Jesus, then by all means obey them.
如果规矩能够帮你做到，咁你就必须去跟服从佢。
If going to church on time makes you follow Jesus more, by all means go to church on time.
如果准时翻教会令你更加跟随耶稣，咁就当然要准时。
And if doing your devotions makes you more like Jesus, don't stop reading your devotions.
如果做灵修能够令你更似耶稣，咁就唔好停止做灵修。
What ultimately matters to us as a church is if we are becoming more like Jesus together.
作为一个教会，最终最紧要嘅系我哋一齐系唔系越嚟越似嗰个呼召我哋嘅耶稣。
It is to this that Jesus has called us. Amen. Thanks, Amy.